Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Oof, came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I am back and here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
All right, Devin, what do you got to kick us off today?
Happy, just in my swim shorts, barefooted, wild hair, in the red fire, dark, singing, swinging, wine, spitting, jumping, running. That's the way to live, all alone and free in the soft sands of the beach.
Nice.
I don't know if I did that one before. That's one of my favorite, like, it's Jack Kerouac. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely recognize it. I've heard you say it before. I don't remember. You may have said it on the podcast. But that's okay.
It may. It's a good kickoff summer quote.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just a classic Jack Kerouac, make you want to leave and abandon everything. And then, right. And be a bum on the beach, right?
Oh, man, that would be so nice. Mm. Not that I just want to go back in time or something, or have like a chance to be in a different life for a while or something, you know?
Right, where you can just wander.
Yeah, right. I guess it would be go back in time, you know, when I was like 18 or something or 17, about to graduate high school, and just like go and be a bum for a while. It would be nice, carefree, no loans or anything yet, you know, no debt. just living wherever, doing odd jobs just to make enough money to, pay rent or pay for food and just, just live. That would have been fun.
Yeah. Here we are with happy families and lives.
Exactly. Really. Right, exactly. Yeah.
It's great. Just classic, like, Kerouac.
Yeah.
Fun, wild, wild hair in the red fire, dark, singing, swinging, wine, spitting, jumping. You can like see him just all alone. Not necessarily, you know, it's better with friends, but just enjoying it, just being, enjoying the moment. Oh, there was also another one. I was listening to a podcast. I'm not sure which one, but there was a description of Nirvana, or finding Nirvana, or finding that perfect inner peace place.
Right.
And their description was a diner, and everything just lined up. And the point was that Nirvana is day to day depending. You know, if you hit these little bits that are like seem perfect for a minute.
Right.
Like, that's Nirvana. Like, he was like, the waitress was great. She brought like a perfectly hot piece of pie. There was like a funny cook in the back.
Yeah.
There was a lady like humming something, and there was like a beautiful person across the room, and there was like a nice smell. And he was like, that slice was Nirvana for him. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. Like, you find these, life isn't perfect. Nothing's perfect, but you find these little bits that can be perfect for the time they're in. Like, this is maybe like, before me thinking that, like, you don't think sitting and eating in a diner is Nirvana.
Right.
But if it's as good as it can get, if it's as good as a diner experience can get, maybe it is. Maybe you can find those little bits. Like, you preparing, getting ready for work. If it's, like, as good as it gets, like, you're not that tired, the coffee's great, you know, it's a beautiful morning, maybe that is a little slice of Nirvana. Yeah. And then I think Jack Kerouac found it there by himself on the beach. I think it was like in Mexico or something.
Spitting. It's like, it almost reminds me of like a little kid, you know, just unrestrained joy. Just like, everything is just right. Yeah. There's no stress. Like, and I think, like you said, also that kind of mentality of just being everything around you is just lining up correctly, right? All these mm-hmm. little things come together and they just, they kind of, everything just levels out, and it's not super, super high, but it's not super low. It's just even, mm-hmm. you know, and just like calm and right and smooth, like, you know, and that's when, you know, you can kind of relax into it and your stress level comes down, and that's that, like, that's that moment of nirvana. I think that actually works well for Buddhism and all that, you know, like,
yeah,
that
right.
that it's about, you know, finding that peace in life, you know, so getting rid of things that way you just can just, you know, when I was in college, I took a class on Zen. I forget what exactly it was called, but one of the homeworks we had 1 week was like to go, you know, before you came back to the class the following week, was like, just do something like a normal chore or something that you would normally do that you would normally be annoyed by, and just do it and be in the moment of doing it and just enjoy everything about what it is you're doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I ended up doing, like, I guess the dishes or something. And, you know, it's like usually it's like something that just never ends. It's always there. It always builds up. You always have to do the dishes. So that was like, that night or some night that week, I just did the dishes and, you know, I enjoyed like the warm water on my hands and the smell of the soap and like cleaning the dishes and the, you know, just this kind of like process and really like fell into it and enjoyed it. And it wasn't that like the dishes were enjoyable, but I was just living that moment, you know? So I was like, just mm-hmm. be in that moment and do everything that you're doing there. And, you know, don't fight against it. Just be it, you know, and that's kind of that moment, you know, that being in that diner and just everything is right. It's like,
yeah,
nothing is like amazing. It's not the best piece of pie you ever had. And it's not that everything's perfect, but it's just the things are right. Like everything is just even right. around you.
Yeah. For what it is, it's as good as it can get.
Yeah.
Now, Jack was helped by, I'm sure, a giant bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah.
To get that feeling done. But so I have, speaking of that, what are we drinking today? I'll start. Mm-hmm. An orange crush to start out with.
Or did you make an orange crush?
I made an orange crush.
So what's in an orange crush?
Fresh. Okay, for everyone. It's kind of a Maryland thing. I don't know how far it's spread, but it's really simple and really good. You take, let's say, just a normal pint glass or something, maybe a little bit bigger.
Okay.
And you take a shot of vodka. If you can get your hands on some type of orange vodka, mm-hmm. some type of decent flavored vodka, you do that. So a shot, maybe a shot and a half of that. Oh, first thing, fill the cup up with ice. It's got to be icy cold.
Okay.
Fill it all the way up. Okay, so then a shot to a shot and a half of...
Do you have, crushed ice? Or do you like regular ice?
No, just,
or?
Well, I mean, I, you know, I just have the cubes.
Refrigerator ice cubes. Okay.
So I filled all the way up.
All right.
Let's just say a shot of orange vodka and then a half shot to a shot, you know, depending. Uh-huh. Let's just say a half shot of triple sec.
Okay.
More orange, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then you fill almost the rest of the glass up with fresh orange juice. If you can, just like any mixed drink, if you can squeeze it yourself, if you can juice it yourself, it's going to be 10 times better.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the trick for a margarita. That's the trick for an orange crush. Fresh juice. I cheat a little bit. I went to the local Wegmans and got the cold pressed stuff.
Oh, all right.
But it, you know, it's still like $7 for a small bottle. So.
Right.
But I did that. It's probably about the same as much of a bag as much. It's the same as like a bag of oranges. I would have to do it, but it's still like fresh. So I got one of those.
All right,
and then you top it off with Sprite or 7-Up.
Okay, so how full is the orange juice? Are you going like halfway or three quarters?
You fill it all the way up
with orange juice.
I mean, there's a lot of ice, so by the time
you say you top it off with Sprite,
I top it off with Sprite. So I would do. It's a little bit more in a splash, you know. Let's say if it's like the top of your glass, it's like the top half inch of your glass.
Okay.
Sprite or 7-Up.
Huh. All right. I've never had an orange crush. Yeah.
What?
No, I haven't, which is surprising because I love orange juice and I drink it often with beer. Like I'll do a beer most often, you know, put in, I usually do for like a can of beer, 12 ounce, I'll pour maybe an inch of orange juice in the bottom of a pint glass and then pour a beer over it.
Well, I'm going to have to, depending if we shoot tomorrow or sometime this week, I'll bring it over. I'll make one for you. Nice. It's so good. And the funny thing is I don't really like orange juice on its own, but just in this form, it's delicious.
Yeah, I do. I love orange juice just in general. I've always loved orange juice, and you know, go to a diner and I'll always get orange juice. But yeah, that sounds good.
It's real good.
Nice orange crush. Yeah, it's funny because I think, like you said, it's kind of a Maryland thing. It's maybe even a Baltimore thing. From the Orioles, because it's kind of, I think it kind of probably started around, you know, within the, you know, somehow started along with the Orioles. Chris Davis was our first baseman for a long time, and he had like home run records and stuff. In different seasons, he led the league in home runs, and his nickname was Crush Davis. So I feel like around that time is when the Orange Crushes really took off. You know, supporting Chris Davis. So
it's a great treat, and it's perfect for the beach, stuff like that. Like anytime I go to Ocean City or stuff like that, I always try to get a good orange. And you find the place that's actually juicing them too. If you see them making them, and there's also now, I mean, they're actually so popular, you can find Grapefruit Crush and some other ones, but orange is the best by far. And I love grapefruit juice, but Orange Crushes, get one of those if you stumble upon it.
All right. Nice. I like it. Well, I am drinking, I was drinking a Natty Bo, National Bohemian Beer, another Baltimore product, and now I'm drinking another Baltimore product, which is Guinness Blonde. So,
nice.
Brewed at the Open Gate Brewery here in Baltimore, and it's Guinness's first beer ever made outside of Ireland. Now they have a few more that are made in Baltimore, but
Guinness Blonde, they're making, it's a good one. It's like they're like, okay, we're gonna get really weird with Guinness, so we gotta do it in the U.S. We don't want to tarnish the Irish Dublin thing,
right? Exactly.
Let's do it in some random city in the U.S. on the East Coast, and just do crazy stuff. And they do. They got pretty much every type you can think of now. They're dabbling. It's cool. They're messing around.
Yeah, it is cool. They're doing some fruity stuff. They did
why not?
You know, darker beers in a coffee stuff, and it is cool. I like it. I like that. And you know, and it's all about they're all about the fact that it's in Baltimore and it's Maryland. Like the cans have the Maryland flag on them, and it's like Baltimore. You know, it's all about
maybe
they're at least
really our cans have that.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know if that's what they send out to everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. Because it says Guinness, Baltimore Maryland Brewery, Baltimore Blonde.
Yeah, yeah.
It says Baltimore Blonde. I guess it's called the Baltimore Blonde.
Is it?
I mean, it says it twice. Like once on the can, it has it below the main logo. And then on the other side, it says Baltimore Blonde too. Guinness Baltimore Blonde. How about that?
Well, now I'm out of my orange crush, so just beers now.
Beers. What else are you drinking?
I got a Yingling, and I have a Twisted Tea.
Oh, all right.
Just a mix of whatever was in the back of the fridge.
Yeah, right.
And a cider, actually, so we'll see if I get through.
We're a little low on beers in the house right now. I still have a couple more Natty Bows in the fridge downstairs, I think, unless we drank them all tonight. Yeah, that was. I haven't gotten any beer in a week and a half or so, maybe even 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We had some in the fridge, and then we kind of ran out. And we had Natty Bows in the fridge downstairs in the shop, so I've just been drinking them and haven't had a chance to get beer.
Mm.
So it's time to get some. I picked up beer last night, but we took it sailing and drank it all but three. Which is what it's for. So.
You went sailing last night in that crazy weather.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, that's one of the things I've been doing a lot of, sailing. So we're back in full swing in sailing season, Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. Yeah, last night, actually, so two nights in a row, both Tuesday and Wednesday this week were rainy and stormy. Tuesday was, throughout the day, we were unsure if we were actually going to race because it was calling for winds of like 18 to 19 with gusts of 29, which is pretty darn windy. You know, we usually don't go out if it's like, at least for our Wednesday night club, we don't usually go out if it's over, you know, if it's gusting anywhere close to 30, we don't go out. If it's consistently blowing windier than 20, we consider it probably, you know, it's heavily considered that we don't go out if it's consistently blowing over 20. Yeah. But the club that I race with on Tuesday nights, is a little bit different. So they're bigger boats. And so, you know, there's a bunch of people who will still go out. So we almost didn't go out on Tuesday, but we did end up going out, and it was actually really nice. It rained off and on while we were out there, which is fine because it was warm out, but it ended up being, you know, like 12 to 15, 16 knots with, you know, gusts of up maybe up to 20. So it wasn't bad. It was exactly what that boat that we sail on, Legacy, that's the wind that boat loves. Yeah. So that was really fun. And then last night we went out and we were kind of looking at the radar throughout the day. Everything we saw, all the predictions for the area were that it was going to kind of rain off and on around, you know, 6 or 7, just a little bit. And then not until like 10, there was going to be a big thunderstorm. That's when it was really starting to come through. So, and then the winds were really low because it was all the like winds before the storm. So the predictions were 2 to 3 knots two to three knots with gust of 5, maybe, you know, and like right before the storm it was like 1 to 2 with gust of 3. So like nothing, you know? Yeah. So we went out last night and, we started the race and we had, you know, kind of moderate wind. It was probably blowing 5 or 6 with gusts of 7 or 8. So enough to get us going. Okay. Mm. Got going, had a really good start and we're making really good headway on the course and made up to the first rounding and we're heading back. We had our spinnaker up and the wind was just dying and we were going like 2.5 knots and then like 2 knots and the wind just died completely and then in the distance we could just see the storm coming to us. You know, we're like watching it and like you start feeling just little drops of rain and it's kind of coming and you know the radar says it's going to go south of us but maybe not and so we're watching it and it starts to rain a little bit more and it kind of looks like it's going south and then you just see the wall of rain on the water like coming toward you. And then on the radio, they're like the different boats like coming over like, okay, this is blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, you know, I'm out. We're going home, you know, and then different people are checking and then, you know, people are checking in like, what's the plan? Are we still racing? Are we canceling the race? And then, Drew, who's our brother Drew he's the race committee chair. So he determines the race courses. So the Commodore called him and they just talked about it briefly, like, well, what do you think? And he was like, yeah, it looks like it's coming. It looks like it's going to be pretty rainy, you know, for a while. And it was already lightning and thunder around us. We kind of heard it a little bit. And so we just called it and took down the sails, turned on the engine, turned around. And like, basically as soon as we got underway, it just started dumping on us. So you know, rained good for a few minutes and then it slackened for a while. And then, you know, it probably took us about 40 minutes or so to get back to the dock. And within that time, it went from like drizzle to full downpour to drizzle to full downpour to drizzle. It just kind of, you know, because we're out in the water. So these patches, it would just, you'd be going along and all of a sudden it'd be like, just huge, big drops of rain. Fortunately, it wasn't like, there wasn't a ton of thunder or lightning. It was just rain. So, but unfortunately, we had to cancel the race halfway through, which was a shame. But it is what it is.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Last night was our last game of the homestand for the Orioles. And
right.
Yeah, we're just all waiting around.
Yeah.
Eating dinner, waiting. And then, okay, they're going to put the tarp on the field, so we're waiting some more. And then, but it's kind of nice. If you do it right, if you just accept it, kind of like when you're just in rain. At first, you're like, no, it's raining. Stay dry. And there's a point where you go, well, I'm not going to stay dry.
Right.
You just accept it. Let's deal with it and move on. That's kind of how it is with rain delays. We're all like, why are we here? There's this rain delay. What are we doing? And then you just go, all right, settle in. And then everyone kind of, we have a control room that
it's not that big, so everyone kind of huddles in it, like when we have a rain delay, and we all kind of sit around and hang out, and you start to talk, and it's actually kind of nice.
Yeah.
If everyone actually is willing to chat and chit-chat, because the crew is always spread out, except for dinner. But, you know, you got the camera guys, right. And you got talent, and you got people, like, wrangling the Oriole bird and all these different people. You got ball girls and all this, and then everyone kind of comes in and hangs out, and then you get a chance to talk. And it was actually kind of nice. So we just hung out and chatted for a few hours, and then they called it right around 9 o'clock, which was perfect. Yeah. So we all got some hours.
Yeah, right.
And we got out early, so we're all happy. Everyone was in a good mood, and then we went home. But, man, on that drive home, so it must have been 9:30.
Yeah.
Is that around when you were driving back?
I got home, let's see. I think I got home around 9:30 or 9:45, something like that, yeah.
But in this city, man, the downpour on 83 North was crazy. Like, by the time I got to the bottom of 83 and I was heading up, it was so heavy. Like, really, a lot of people slowed way down.
Right, yeah.
The huge puddles that built up on the bridge of 83, or the highway going through the city, is basically a giant bridge. So it really can puddle in some weird spots. but, man, it was... like where you could barely see, and then I hit a puddle for like a few seconds going, you couldn't see anything. Man. Like, yeah. Oh, just stay straight. but anyway, so that was, by the time I got to 695, it was okay, but that was a sketchy drive home. But yeah, we're all here. We're back. And the homestand's over, so we got some shooting to do. And we haven't been around for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. We're talking about today, what was it, like three episodes. Yeah. I haven't been here for three weeks.
Yeah, because we recorded one. Actually, I think the last one we recorded together might have been with Dennis and Aaron. Was that it? Was it?
I think maybe we did one after.
We did one with that. But yeah, then there was 1 week off, and then the next week after that, I recorded with Sean from Crafting a Life That I Want. And then last week we took off again. So yeah, it's been 4 weeks or so since we've been on together.
True.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. No, I mean, we try to do it every week unless huge issues.
Like, right, exactly. Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously, like, we normally record on Thursday nights and then we put it out on Friday morning. So if you're listening to this on Friday, and we just recorded the night before. But it doesn't always work, and usually we know ahead of time, and we'll kind of work it out, and we'll record when we need to, earlier in the week if we have to. But, you know, like, missing two in 3 weeks is a lot, and but it also just made me realize, like, how consistently we've recorded the podcast for the last 2 years, which is pretty impressive, you know, to, like, I think we might have missed maybe, like, six, you know, total or something, you know, like, and most of those were... like holidays, you know, like Easter, we'd be like, oh, let's take it off. Or one of us would be on vacation. Be like, oh, we'll take it off, you know, like, but really just recording every week. It's been fun.
Yeah. I don't think, this is probably the first time we did more than two in a row. If we've ever done two in a row off.
But, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why it was like 2 weeks ago. I was like, well, we can't just not do it again. So I was like, I told Sean, I was like, well, I'm going to record the podcast either way. And, you know, I was like, if you want to come join me, that'll be cool too. And then, so he ended up coming over, hanging out in the shop and recording with me, which is fun.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, you know, it was your end of school season, baseball. Yeah.
Sailing starting up. And
There was medical stuff and hospital stuff. Basically, my wife had to be in the hospital for a week, and so obviously had to do that. There's no podcast during that. Everybody's okay. She's okay now.
Yeah.
And we're in a good place now, but obviously it's always tough going to the hospital and dealing with all types of stuff and things, but a lot less stress now, and we got some time off. We're going to start shooting and getting back into the swing of things and doing the podcasts. And
I've got a couple more days of school. It's like end of the year closeout stuff. So I'll have Friday and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. But I don't have any students. All of my all my high school students have already taken their final exams, and so it's just like the last few days of school for teachers. And you know, there's always random weirdo students who come to the school and hang out. I'm like, what are you doing here? They're like, oh, I don't know. But you know, it makes sense. They're Baltimore City, like a lot of kids don't really have anything else to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's also they come and get free lunch and free breakfast, and like, you know, why not? And their parents are like, no, go to school.
Yeah, there you go.
And then there's like the ones that want to do it because they have, like, I had a couple of students over the years who have had like perfect attendance through all of their years of school, which is just crazy. And you know, so they're like, oh, I gotta come to school because I gotta keep my record going. I'm like, oh, that's cool, I like that. Mm-hmm. But it's been nice. I've been sailing season started, so I've got like sailing on my brain. So I've been watching a lot of old America's Cup races and just like putting them on my my projector screen, and you know, putting the sound on and just hooking up, and like, and then just cleaning my room and reorganizing my supplies and pulling all the student stuff out of their desks and cleaning the desks and organizing their work so I can take pictures and post, you know, put it on their Google Drive, you know, thing, folders and stuff. Mm-hmm. So just kind of all this like random stuff that needs to get done. I've got a checklist that's end of the year checklist stuff for classrooms. And I'm fortunately, because I am the architecture teacher and the architecture classroom never changes because it's the architecture lab. I don't have to like take down everything. A lot of teachers have to clean everything, like take everything off their walls, you know, like just clean the rooms completely. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to do that, which is nice. So I can kind of clean things up, you know, organize and put away stuff and get rid of things that I don't need anymore. And then just, I'm good to go. So a couple more days, it's been nice, just nice and relaxing and easygoing and nice to get some stuff done in the classroom. And then, so next Wednesday will be my last day in school before summer break, and then we'll have summer break. So it'll be nice. And actually,
get some stuff done.
Yeah, next Tuesday I'm sailing, but the following 2 weeks after that I won't be. Hmm. So I'll have an extra day. But and then at the end of the month, the end of June, we're going down to the Outer Banks to go down and help some final closeout stuff with my wife's grandparents who passed away recently, and so we're gonna go down. It's funny, we had this vacation planned for like a year to go, or you know, maybe not a year, but whatever, the last like 8 or 9 months to go down to North Carolina at the end of school and to go down for a week. And then within that time frame, her grandfather passed away, my wife's grandfather passed away, and then not too long after that, just a few weeks after that, her grandmother passed away. Oof. Which was crazy because her grandmother was super healthy, you know, as far as we could tell. You know, she'd been taking care of her grandfather, who had pretty like severe Alzheimer's and memory loss and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And so she was taking care of him like full time on her own for, you know, I would say a year when it's been pretty severe. You know, obviously they've been together long before, you know, forever before that. And then, you know, he passed away and she was doing great. And, you know, she was like out back going out to like their country club and golfing and doing stuff. And she had a stroke. And then shortly after that, she passed. It's crazy. Crazy. We think, you know, so my Lynn, my wife's grandmother, was always very like independent, you know, like even though like she and her husband are very kind of traditional, you know, marriage, you know, so it was like he worked and she stayed home and cooked and cleaned and took care of the kids and made food for him. And, you know, like as that was, and it just stayed that way all the way through their marriage. And so, but so she's like always been very independent and like likes to control what happens in her house. And, you know, and then like the prospect of over the last few years of with like George getting worse and worse with his Alzheimer's, and you know, there was all these opportunities for her to have someone come in the house and help her out, you know, help out with him and stuff, and she just kept not wanting to do it and was really weirded out by it. And so like my wife thinks that maybe, you know, this prospect of losing her ability to live alone, you know, and like live on her own and be in her own house, because when she had the stroke it was like pretty inevitable that she would have to maybe move into some assisted living. We think that she just kind of lost the will to live, because she was doing pretty well. Like she'd had the stroke. It wasn't super severe. She was like doing okay. They were almost about to send her like back either to like a rehab center or even home. And then she kind of just declined some. And I think we think that like she just lost the will to live because she realized she wouldn't be able to live in her own house anymore and do what she wanted to do. You know, and she's like, well, what's the point? You know, like, and you know, I just was like, and then just, you know, kind of faded pretty quickly. But crazy stuff. But yeah, so this like vacation to North Carolina has has gone. It's still a vacation because, you know, my wife's uncle and aunt and uncle will be there and their family and stuff. So we'll still be down. We'll be enjoying the beach and enjoying each other's company. But, you know, it'll be a little bittersweet because they're selling the house and it'll be like kind of the last time that we have that location to go to specifically for that reason. You know.
So, Yeah.
But yeah, so. But that'll be nice. That'll be at the end of June. We'll be able to go down and we're going to get some stuff. Like we have a couple pieces of furniture and some other tools and things and stuff that we, you know, kind of got things that were left over from the house and from Lynn and George. So we're going to take down a trailer and bring some stuff back.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Get your dirty paws on some of the tools.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I already got the one tool that I always really wanted that George has, the bullet vise, the Wilton bullet vise. So I got that. So
yeah, man, we got to do it. We'll do a video on that soon. Maybe right after the 100-pound bow, which we should probably do next.
Ah, yeah.
As our 100th video, whether it is or not, is up in the air. Now, if you want to go back and count every video and tell us the real number, you go ahead. But that will be our quote-unquote 100th video.
Yeah. What about the toy box video? How's that going over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's here.
Okay.
It's like still halfway done. I just had to do it. Okay.
Yeah,
like maybe to, you know. Maybe this week I can probably get that out before.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that'll come. It's still it's a good video. It's definitely gonna get done.
Yeah,
I just need to
do it.
Yeah, do it. Get it done.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because usually our like order of operations is we'll shoot a video and then you edit it and then we put it out and we usually don't. Typically, we don't start another video until you're done editing the previous video.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we will, you know, like if we have to, like if you know, there's just like a, you know, if it's taken long and there's a time we can shoot and start something else, we will. But so it's not like a locked in schedule, but that's typically the way we work it. I think we got off of that process because of what was it? What video did we
do? The knife.
Was it the knife?
I think so, because we had to finish up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the dagger, the dirk. Right, so we had to finish that one. So that kind of
fell by the wayside.
That's right. So we yeah, because we had stopped doing the toy box to do the knife, so it wasn't that, like, you had all the stuff and you just didn't edit it because we moved into the knife. It was because that video wasn't complete. Like, we hadn't finished shooting it. Mm-hmm. So we did the dirk video, and then we went back and did the knife afterward. I mean, did the toy box afterwards, so it was like broken up in between. So it's already out of sync on our like normal process, you know. So I think that's just like in your mind, it's just like
it's in just the background. Kind of, we passed it, but we got to get back to it. Yeah, it's good stuff. So we'll do that, and and what?
I forgot about the bow video. That's gonna be great. I'm excited. The
bow video, yeah, I know. Yeah, there's all these 100-pound exciting draw, things. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of house stuff because, health stuff, my wife and my daughter were at her in-laws after being in the hospital.
Right.
And so I was basically here alone because I work nights. So we started redoing, Maeve's room, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, fresh paint everywhere. That was the main stuff. We put in new outlets, new receptacles, and all that stuff, and new covers and everything. So everything's fresh and painted and girly. So now my wife is going to she's gonna do some Cricut-like clouds and blah, blah, blah. And I was telling Dustin, I was like, all right, so we got all these clouds. Let's add some, like, sky stuff, like Peter Pan and stuff, or a rocket flying, things she can point out and, like,
right, yeah,
interact with.
Yeah. Yeah, and so. I was like, yeah, you got to do the Death Star.
Death Star, yeah.
But in the sky, you know, it was like the way when you look up in the sky and you see the moon, like during the day, you can see it. And it's kind of just off white or like, you know, pale blue. Just yeah, you can tell right, right. Like, I'd like to see the Death Star that way, like up in the sky. It'd be sweet. Mm-hmm. Just kind of like just a little bit different color than the sky color, but just enough that you can see it. So it's faded off like through the atmosphere, just floating out
there. Yeah. But that's been good. It always feels good to finish another room in the house. We're going to redo them all. So we're like busting through. Like you need something to kick your butt. Like, hey, do this now. And it was, oh, yeah, my daughter's out of her room. This is what we wanted. We kept thinking, like, how are we going to get in there for a few days?
Right.
With all that paint smell and all that stuff and moving all our furniture and blah, 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 blah. So we did it. So that's done. And she's sleeping there as we speak. So
nice.
It's and we got this really cool, it's kind of weird, but this really cool air conditioner for the living room.
Okay.
Because people who don't know, half the house is old and then half the house is an addition that came like, 8 years ago, 10 years ago.
Right.
So the new half has
central AC.
Right. Yeah. And heating and all that. And the old doesn't. So got a bunch of AC units and whatnot, put in the windows. And we're thinking, first we wanted, like, we saw on something, some ads, where there's, like, modern-looking AC units, like, on the front. They just look nice. They don't look like the standard AC unit that's been done for, like, 40 years, you know?
Yeah.
So we found it, and then this one is... So if you're looking at it from the side, it's like a giant, it's a U.
Okay.
The front is some part of the fan and all your, I guess the filter and just the top bit is where the air comes out, like normal.
Okay.
And then the compressor and all the loud stuff is in the back on the other side of your window.
Oh.
So you drop your window down. In between it, and you fill the gaps. They're a little bit smaller than normal. You know, normally you have the whole gap that you just did with a little,
the little pulley guy.
Little what do you call it?
Accordion.
It's a little bit smaller, so they give you like foam you can cut.
Yeah, right.
And you have to screw some stuff down, so it takes a little bit longer to install, and it's gonna be kind of a bitch to uninstall at the end. But I kind of have it all fit nice.
Yeah, nice.
And the other cool thing about that is you can lift up your window if you want still. Not that we're going to in the summer without like a screen, but you have the ability to do it. It's all built in and ready to go. And you have a little bit more window on either side of it, you know.
It's not as wide as...
Right. So on the right and left of it, you can still see through it.
Yeah. Right. Nice.
But it's really nice, really quiet. Apparently they say it's efficient and you can like set it and you can set it to your app and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's probably double what you would pay for or one.
Right.
I think we got it for like $360. Okay. But it also says that it saves you 35% in energy.
Nice, yes.
So you know, that'll pay for it this summer.
Right.
You know, whether that's true or not, who knows? But you think a modern thing, it probably does. And
I like the idea of having the compressor and stuff outside. So you kind of bring the windows down. It's quieter.
It's so much quieter.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like when I stand where I can see the living room and you can hear the kitchen, you know, the kitchen one, the old one's just wow, 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 wow. Like you can't even hear the other, like you can't even, that's so loud. It takes over the other one
from the kitchen, from around the corner.
Yeah. No, it's really nice for what it is. It's about as nice as a window unit can be.
Right. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Well, I wonder like how hard would it be to run? I don't know if Dad ever thought about this, but to like run like AC duct, under the house and up into the...
Yeah. No, we thought about that, but I think... I was talking to some people. That's... Running duct, apparently, is one of the most expensive things. Because you need specialty tools to cut that...
Right.
To bend those... The duct work, and it's...
Yeah. I think it's just a lot of specialty stuff.
Right.
Right.
Get that dryer ducting. flexible tubing just and run those. It over.
There you
just
go.
Just put it up in there. Yeah, just like, yeah. That's got to
be right. Yeah, I mean, that would be easy.
Yeah, and then just like put some floor vents in.
Right. Yeah, cut a hole.
Yeah, right.
I can cut a rectangle hole in the floor.
There you go. See, it doesn't seem very hard to me. Get AC all through the house. I wonder, though, you know, like that unit, it's probably rated for a certain size. It's not very big, so it's probably like,
yeah.
You obviously could make it work because it doesn't get like crazy, crazy hot here in Maryland for all that long.
Yeah.
You know, so
I had the same thought, and I forget who told me. It's basically the AC unit itself is nothing compared to how much it costs to get the stuff run.
Gotcha.
I mean, I guess you could do it yourself, but it's like the labor.
Yeah.
And running the duct work is the expensive part.
Right. Yeah.
So even if you have the money to buy the, whatever, who knows, whatever, $4,000 or $5,000 unit that sits outside, that's you're maybe halfway there, maybe.
Dang. That's crazy. Huh. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a small enough house, too, that, you know, you throw in a couple AC units and you're good to go.
Yeah, we only need three. It's just one floor. We have one for my daughter's room, one for the living room, one for the kitchen. And it's plenty. And
yeah.
Yeah, man.
And so, I guess I was the beneficiary of one of those that should be in your daughter's room. So thank you very much, Dad. Yeah, you texted me like a couple weeks ago. You're like, do you have that AC that's ours? And I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. and then as like the memories came back, I'm like, wait, yeah, maybe why do I? And then when you were like, yeah, Dad said maybe he gave one to you, and I was like, oh yeah. Yep, he did. Yeah. This is the one that we have, the one AC unit that we have in our house. This is just like in the living room.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Dad was giving away stuff before we moved in.
Right, exactly.
Okay, dust test one of your units. I'm like, wait, no. It's like, yeah, when he was like, I don't know, maybe it was like, hey, do we want, you want your brothers to store stuff here? I was like, no. They all have homes now. Why are they storing brothers stuff in my new home? They all have places.
Yeah, well, this was like, I guess, last summer when did you guys move in? When did you move in there? I can't remember. It was
towards the end of summer, like September, but.
Okay. Yeah,
but I do remember him bringing that up. Like, hey, I'm going to give Dustin the unit, or not get. Well, I don't know
right,
what it was,
yeah.
But he was like, "Hey, Dustin, there's something happened to yours, right?"
Yeah, our unit in our living room just stopped working. Right. So,
and he was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna give one to Dust." Blah blah blah. And it doesn't matter. But we had already wanted one. That's why I just wanted to know because I wasn't sure.
Right.
I was like, "Do you have it?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Just in case, this is what I think." But I think I'm gonna get a new one. So like. Hang on.
Right, yeah, just in case I didn't have it. I'm like, oh, no. Or it was just, like, down in the basement or something. Like, I'm not using it, but,
yeah. And, actually, we're going to replace, we like, did a test run with that living room one, with the new fangled one. And we're going to get, we're going to replace the kitchen, too. So, I don't know. Oh, I don't know if you want a second one, but if you do, you can have it.
Yeah, I don't know.
For really hot days in your room? Really, like, when it's really bad?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, we have... We have the unit in the living room, and if it's really hot, we can leave the bedroom door open, and then we'll get some AC back in our bedroom. But if we do that, then it like the dogs, I don't know. Like, I feel like we've done that once or twice, and I ended up hearing the dogs a lot, or they like barked or whatever. Like somehow they like knew the door was open. So they were like being more annoying. I was like, cause they could like hear, cause we have fans in our bedroom that help, you know, we have a sound machine and stuff to, And so like, I don't know if they heard that or whatnot, but usually it's okay. My house stays pretty cool. Cause we're surrounded by some big trees. So we get like shade most of the time. So even when it's really hot out, like we'll keep the AC unit in the living room going cause the dogs are there and stuff. So, but usually we'll just, I think we've only one time this year so far had to open up our bedroom door.
Nice.
And we have the window and stuff, so we had that open. And usually we're just like laying under just the sheet, like sweating.
Well, there's, like I said, I think the kitchen one's big, and we're probably going to also replace the other smaller one. I think that was, that used to be in the living room.
Right.
And now it's in Maeve's room, but it's small, but it, I mean, it kicks off some stuff, so you can,
yeah,
if you want, they're there.
Yeah, I should replace this one in the studio. It doesn't work anymore. Although it's like, it, you know, that's the main one. We usually wouldn't have one in the living room, but we just had the one in the studio, but it just stopped working. It's like 1,000 years old. Yeah. And over top of the smithy ceiling, the roof.
Oh, right. Yeah, so we, like, put it there so it would drip down. And
yeah, so if it drips, it would drip on top of the roof, yeah.
All right, so today... Mm-hmm. We're back to shooting again after 3 weeks. Back to shooting and podcasting and doing it all.
That's great.
Yeah, it was nice. I came. You were Instagramming or whatever.
Yeah, I was doing Instagram live because, like, I was waiting and I knew you were coming. You gave me a heads up when you were leaving, so I was kind of getting ready and went down the shop and cleaned up just a little bit, and then I was like, yeah, let me, you know, I had to grab some stuff out of the truck, so I was heading over there and just figured I'd do a live stream and start a live stream, was hanging out and talking to a few people, and then you pulled up with a sweet rad runner.
Yeah, e-bike. See, that actually worked out. You had no idea I was going to.
I didn't
it
have.
Over.
Yeah, no, not at all. It was great. And I was like, oh, there he is, the man of the hour. I was like, oh, sweet, look, he's got the e-bike.
Yeah, great. Man.
I made a reference to, like, the two fat twins that used to ride motorcycles and ride the mini bikes. You remember that when we were kids? Like, you'd always see that little, like, what do you see that on? I guess it was Guinness Book of Records or something.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the two fattest guys, like, riding the two smallest motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, yeah, you guys remember that when we were kids?
The good thing about the Rad Runner, it's rated for 300, so... As long as we can stand her that.
Yeah, right.
You're good for it.
Golden. That's sweet. Rated for 300. Well, it was like, you and I both got on.
You sat on the back. We went way over. Way over.
Way over. Yeah, and it didn't break, so. I rode around with Corinne on the back, and, you know, she and I together over 300, so. Oh, yeah.
No, it's cool, right? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Super I was fun. Like, I was in the Jarls doing stuff. I was like, yeah, I'll bring it over, let them try it out, and ride around and have fun with it.
And it was awesome, so much fun. Yeah, there's it's like something so nice about, like, any type of powered vehicle. You know, like, I always used to feel that way about riding my motorcycle when I had a motorcycle when I was in college, and it was like, it just always felt like having fun. You know, it was like I always felt like I was playing whenever I was riding it. It was like, oh, this is awesome. I remember when you were in high school, or maybe even when you were, like, in middle school whenever I got my license and you still didn't have yours. And I remember you asking me when we were driving somewhere, you'd be like, are you having fun right now? He was like, are you having fun? I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's fine. I'm having fun. I like driving. You're like, are you having fun? Because you're like, you knew, like, in your mind, it was like, you're getting there. You're going to be getting your license eventually. But it's like, is it really fun?
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, right? To drive a car 60 miles per hour, 70, 80. And it's like, is this fun to you, or is it? And it obviously becomes just like anything else,
right? Yeah,
to everybody. But the little things, yeah, obviously a motorcycle, but the Rad Runner 2 that I got, it's cool. Like, it maxes out at 20, but you feel like you're on a bike.
Yeah,
but you get the excitement of, like, oh man, like, because there's the power assist and then there's the throttle, so you go through grass like it's smooth pavement.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't feel like anything. Obviously, you go up a hill, there's some more, and if we're on it, there's some more, but like, the second you hit any type of pavement or anything flat, it just, boom, takes off.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. It's fun. And, you know, it's funny because with yours, it has the, like, four levels of assist. So you could do it on, like, zero, which you just pedal, or one, you know, like, it gets more and more assist as that you go up. When you're on a higher level, if you're slow, if you slow down to turn and you pedal a little bit, it, like, it wants to assist you a lot. So it's like, like, you're like, oh, you gotta gear down when you're going slow. If you want to pedal, you gotta, like, go back down to, like, assist one when you were pedaling slow. But it is cool though, because it has the throttle as well, so you can just, like, use that, you know, just to give it a little bit of power or whatever.
How did it run out? So Dustin took off
There's a golf course nearby, so he was riding some of the... How'd it go up that hill? Pretty good?
It was struggling.
Yeah.
But it was okay. You know, like, I mean, it went fine. Like, if I would have... like, just using the throttle, it was struggling a little bit, you know, and I feel like pedaling was actually a little bit better, I guess, because you're actually pedaling some, you know, you're adding power to the power.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, but yeah, I mean, it was fine. I didn't go all the way up to, like, the top, so I didn't really, like, take it as far as I could, but, you know, just on purpose, because they were golfers, but so I turned around and came back, but yeah, it was cool. You know, and, like, at one point I was riding around the property and going kind of up the hill in the back of the property past the barns and stuff, and, I just kind of stood up and I was pedaling, and it was super easy. You know, I mean, it was like a little bit of work, but like not like, you know, nothing like just a regular bike. So I was like stood up. It's like I could feel the power like underneath me. It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
No, dogs are chasing me. I'm like, come on. That was funny.
No, it's great. We bought two because there was a deal at one. We wanted two.
Right.
And, when we go on the trails, my wife's so much faster. And she's like half the weight. She just takes off like, right. Like her and my daughter just
see ya.
Like I see her, she looks over at me, and then she's like, "I'm like, no." You see her gun it. She's like, "Yeah." I'm pedaling all hard, trying to catch up.
That's great.
But it's yeah. The like you said, it maxes out 20, but that's flying on a trail.
Yeah.
Like 20, yeah. And it almost feels like too fast. We only ever like did full speed when people weren't around.
Right. Yeah.
Like flying by people at 20 felt like too fast. Like, we don't want to be, and we don't want them angry at us because we got whatever e-bikes, blah, 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 motorized vehicles. It's all still kind of gray area.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But the only person that really said anything to us was like this old hippie guy hiking, and he was really into it.
Oh, really?
He was like, "Oh, those are so cool, man. Like, there's like, it's like an e-bike." We're like, "Yeah," telling him all about it. He's like, "Oh, those are great."
Yeah. I feel like you said, you're kind of doing it responsibly, so you're not actually like flying down the trail. So most people probably don't even realize it, you know?
Yeah.
You're just going past them in the other direction, or
it's normal. Yeah. It's normal bike stuff.
Right,
you let people know either, hey, coming up on your left or whatever. There's a little bell, so I give them a little ping,
ding, 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 ding,
and I pass them. You know,
yeah, on your left.
We'll see how they feel when we get our new annual group trek through the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, and we're partying, having a good time.
That'd be fun. Yeah, so you said you found like some campgrounds north on the near the trail or something, or
yeah, I guess it's right before Pennsylvania. There's
okay,
like a place that I think a church owns,
mm-hmm.
So you can like ask them to stay, but it's right off the trail and it's a big area and they have like pavilions and stuff. But
right,
so there's something up there, and then into Pennsylvania there's some. I think there's a campground right off. So if we all wanted to go, that's we cool. could go up and then camp and then come back.
Yeah. Yeah, right on. That'd be sweet. I think that'd be fun. And I like the idea of bike camping. Our mom and a friend of hers has done that like a few times. They got like panniers and stuff and they go on, you know, bike trails and camp over multiple days. I like that idea. I think that'd be fun. And, like you said, you could bring like one of the tow behind, you know, like kid carriers, and just put everybody's gear in it, you know,
right?
And then just tow it along, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so great. Well, let's do that this year. But so we did that, and then we shot working on the barrel table.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, that was good. That was fun to get back into it, and because we had it started a couple weeks ago, and we just, you know, with how busy we've been and with everything going on, we just haven't had a chance to get back to it. But it was good to get that, and we got the top all glued up, so now we can move on. I bought the steel, so the top is going to be a ring, and that's what got 8-inch wide ring by the 3/4-inch thick of the oak. And then it'll have a steel ring around the outside, like the barrel rings. And then inside the top of that will fit the piece of glass. So I got the steel, and We had the wood glued up, so we'll be able to cut that out and then kind of move on, which will be nice. I'll have to figure out how. So my idea to bend the ring so that way it, you know, goes in a circle, mm-hmm. is to actually like hammer it on the anvil on the one side, which whenever you like hammer steel, it cups. Mm-hmm. Same way I did the guard for the sword, the pirate sword. So I figured I could probably do that because it already kind of, I mean, I could kind of just bend it because it's what is it, 1 inch by 1 inch flat bar mild steel. So it's already like I could bend it by hand, you know, it's pretty flexible. But to get it even, I think I'll just kind of use the hammer and just work around. I think that'll be enough to form it into a circle, which would be kind of cool. So we'll see. But that'll be the next step after cleaning up the glued top and cutting that out, and then we'll do the ring and then pop the glass in, and then we'll be good.
You could also reach out to Slaysman Forge.
Right.
I'm sure he's got some type of steel roller.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sure he does. Yeah.
That might be cool to, like, stop in, say hello, and
yeah.
See how they're doing.
Yeah, because I need, what is it? It's like a 3-foot circle. I think it's like right under 8 feet or something. So
like, yeah, I mean, get the diameter and if it's close, that's all you got to do. And
yeah. Yeah.
It'll take, you know, whatever, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Right. Exactly. Put it in, you roll it through once and roll through it again. You just keep rolling through until it's the right, you know, it comes all the way around and it's got the right diameter. Yeah. I mean, I think that we could probably hammer it. So we'll start there and I think it'll work fine. But if not, we can always figure that out too. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be fun. I'm excited to work on that some more. I think that'll end up looking really cool. And then, you know, if we end up doing LED lights and stuff or something like that in it, that'll be fun too. So,
oh, yeah,
figure out a way to work that. Yeah. 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 And then start the bow video after that. That'll be cool. I'm excited. And I want to do the Bowie knife, the one that we didn't end up doing the challenge, but I have all the stuff to make it. So, like, I bought the bone handle and yeah, that was the idea, was to do the Bowie knife out of all the like reclaim stuff. So blade out of a leaf spring, the guard, and maybe the pommel out of a railroad spike, and then the handle out of the antler, which would have been like what, you know, what someone might have had in the, you know, in when the Bowie knife was made, you know, like the time of the Alamo and the, you know, the Spanish Wars and stuff like that, you know, the Wild West. So I think that's kind of a fun angle to go about. So that's a fun video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to do a recommendation.
Okay.
Unless you want to discuss something else.
No, it's fine. Yeah, let's do it. I was talking to, when I was doing the live stream, people were like, what's coming up next? And I like said a few things that we were doing, but I forgot about the bow, but that'll be fun. Doing the 100-pound draw weight bow. I'm excited. That's going to be, I don't know why that's so exciting to me, but I'm excited. It's going to be really cool to like have something that's that powerful, you know?
Yeah. No, so it'd just be good to do another bow video too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
All right. So I went and saw Top Gun Maverick.
Ah, nice.
And? It was pretty great.
Nice. All right. Nice.
And so I get there. Wife and I, we go. We sit down. And then there's like some, you know, the BS fake commercials before it, fake trailers, you know, it's like, hey, and blah blah blah, this was our new look into blah blah, like some ABC show you don't care about, right?
Yeah, right.
Behind the scenes of NCIS Chicago, you're like, oh, yeah, right. Like, I don't, just keep the screen black. I don't want this.
Yeah, right. I'd rather just sit here and talk to myself.
Right. I'd rather sit here and stare at a black screen than watch
your be excited the about scenes. The movie. Yeah, right.
Right. But then the real trailers kick in, right? Yeah. Where you get the real audio.
Yeah.
And then I hear off to my right speakers just this buzzing.
Oh, no.
And distortion. Like every hit, there's this heavy distortion.
I'm like, oh no. Like, now I lean to my wife. I'm like, do you hear that? You hear that, right? And she's like, what? Uh-huh. I'm like, come on. You hear that? She's like, I guess. But, she, you know, she couldn't care less, even if, right?
Yeah, right.
That stuff drives me nuts. So I'm hoping, yeah. like, oh, please let this just be something about the trailers. Maybe they don't turn on something, you know?
Right, yeah.
And so the opening scene of Top Gun Maverick is the same as the original, just with, like, Danger Zone or whatever, you know, right. when they're on the aircraft carrier. I think it's that song, or it's some, or it's whatever song it is.
Yeah,
but it's right. My gosh! And sure enough, it's just buzzing.
Oh,
so then the whole movie, anytime anything any big moment, there's just this buzzing. I'm enjoying the movie, but there's like 25% of me that I just hear this buzzing.
Oh, that sucks.
It was rough.
Oh, that's a dagger. Oh man. I feel like last time I went to the movies, I had the same experience. Like, there was something weird with the sound. I was like, oh, the sound. I feel like it went away, though, after, you know.
Right.
Like,
you kind of hope, and it's just...
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. I went to the drive-in, the Benji's drive-in, to see the newest... what's it called? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the Harry Potter series. I saw that, and then we also saw Everywhere, Everything, All at Once, which was awesome. But yeah, there was a little bit of like, I mean, we're in our car, so it's kind of the fault of our own vehicle. But there was a little bit of a weird like buzz and stuff. Like when it would get loud, I was like, it was annoying me. But at least then it's like, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it wasn't anybody's fault but mine. So it was like I was able to just ignore it, but. Yeah.
Drove me nuts.
Oh, that sucks. But I heard that movie's really good, though. Yeah.
It was awesome. Definitely worth seeing in the theaters. I'm probably going to go and try it again.
Nice.
But really good. I mean, all the flight scenes are awesome because they did them all in like real jets.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool. And everything's what I know or what I've heard is the majority of it is all real and
right. Yeah,
like it's great.
I was looking at a trailer and I was looking at something. It was just a post on Instagram and it had Val Kilmer you know, from 1980 whatever it was, you know, as a Iceman, and then him, you know, in the movie now. And Nicole was mentioning something about how like he's, you know, like can't talk anymore or something, or it's like he's doing pretty bad.
Yeah. Yep.
But she was like, she was saying how there's like, she read something else that was like complaining about the fact that the woman who played his love interest, Tom Cruise's love interest in the first one, like still looks really good, you know, for her age and all, but they like replaced her with like a younger woman, like a younger love interest. She's like, that's some bullshit. They got Val back and Tom Cruise, but like the main actress who was like the love interest, they brought in a new, younger, more beautiful woman or something.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
That's Hollywood for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's Hollywood.
I saw some pictures of that actress now, and she's definitely not as good as what they replaced her with.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I think she was a little older than Tom Cruise
even then
anyway.
Yeah.
And right. he's 60 now.
Yeah.
So she's probably 65 something.
Yeah, and it's like, it's like just Carrie. Yeah, right. What's Carrie, what's her name from Star Wars, you know?
Oh yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. So it's like, yeah. I don't know. There was some love interest stuff in this one, which I didn't think was necessary. There was a lot of stuff. I don't know. It's really good, and that's my recommendation. You should go see it. But there was still some love stuff, and it was like, all right, like he's 60. Like, I don't care that he need, like, whatever. Like,
yeah, right.
They were like too hot. Yeah. In the original movie, it's like 80s, like hot people.
Yeah.
Like perfect bodies, blah, blah, blah. 80s style with to some like a weird love scene to some music and whatever.
Yeah.
But now, like, I don't care that he, I want to see Maverick fly.
Right.
Like, exactly. You can lose the love scene stuff. You can lose him being interested in some chick. Like, I don't want to see two people in their 60s make love. Like, next, skip. Like, listen, come on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that forward 15-second button.
Boop, 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 no. Boop, boop, keep going. They were
in their 20s last time, and that's what you want to see. Not, but anyway, all in all, it was really good. So I might see it again somewhere, hopefully, without the messed up speaker. But
sweet, right on. Cool. All right. Well, my recommendation this week is DFM Toolworks. I've been following this guy for a bit. He does, he makes tools and sells stuff like that. He let's see. I was seeing something that he did recently. Where was that? What was it? Well, either way, the thing that I actually, that he's been doing more recently, which I think is really cool, he's making these hammers, and they're definitely like machined hammers, which is, they're cool looking. They're rounded on either end, and then it's almost like if you took a, no, I don't need to hear it right now. Sorry.
Oh, whoa.
if you took like, say, like a octagon or like a cylinder that was an octagon or a hexagon or whatever, a decagon, like 10 sides, you know, a cylinder that has 10 sides, and then you, if it was like flexible and you twisted both ends of it in opposite directions, so you get this spiraling, you know, sides that go around, that's what the hammer looks like between the two ends. So it's like, you know, flat sides that spiral around, you know, or flat, you know, sections. So really cool looking. And I don't know how he made them. And I was like, which is always kind of fun when I look at something, I'm like, I don't know how that would have been made. You know, like, I guess, you know, on CNC or something, and, you know, turning and cutting at the same time. But they're really cool. They're like brass hammers, and, you know, different steels and different color, you know, schemes and stuff for them. So it's kind of cool, but I really like the hammers, but he does some good work and is like kind of supports US businesses and stuff. So go check him out. DFM Toolworks on Instagram. That's my recommendation.
Right on.
All righty. Well, we're on episode 91. We're coming up on episode 100, which will be kind of fun. Don't know who we'll have, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to have somebody special on, but I don't know, maybe not. Maybe we'll just do like a brothers thing, which is always kind of good, you know, kick off the 100 with something special like that, and then maybe we'll bookend on either side, 10, like 99 and 100. Maybe we'll have some fun people on 101.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so yeah, that's all. So everyone, thank you all so much for listening. We're back again, and we'll be back again next week. Hopefully we won't miss any in the near future. We like to try to, you know, come out and give you guys a podcast each week if we can. And, you know, we've been doing it pretty successfully for over 2 years, almost about 2 years now. We're coming up on 2 years. So yeah, it's crazy. But thank you, everybody, for listening. Please make sure you head over to YouTube and check out our videos there. We have a bunch of stuff up, obviously. And if you haven't already subscribed, go subscribe and leave us a comment and let us know what you think. We have some more videos coming out shortly. You can also head over to Instagram and follow us both there at the Art of Camera Guy. You can follow Devin, and at the Art of Craftsmanship, you can see what we're doing behind the scenes in the shop and in our daily lives. And if you want to support the channel further and support us in what we do, you can head over to patreon.com/theartofcraftsmanship, and you can support us there. And that really does, it makes a difference, and it makes, it gives us the, not really the drive, but, you know, having people that support us that way is really, it's really humbling. So it makes going out and taking the time and being away from our families and putting in the effort to put some stuff out there for you guys, 'cause we know there are people that really appreciate it and then want to support us in that way. So if you feel so inclined, you can head over to Patreon and do it that way. And other than that, that's it for the week. Thank you guys all so much for listening. It's been a blast, and we will talk to you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.